This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, the right-hander is at the belt. The 1-1.
Swung on, drilled to deep left. It is high, it is far, and it is gone. It's a three-run home run for the Santino. A two-out, ninth inning, three-run blast. Oh, that Gary is scary.
Let me tell you what's going on in Yankee dugout. They are jumping up and down, and we're on that railing back as if they've just won Game 7 of the World Series.
Well, it's a three-run home run, and they have a 10-7 lead.
Oh, I know, it's cold. That is cold. It's cold of me to do that. But the Red Sox didn't play last night. We did the show last night after they played a day game on Victoria game against the Blue Jays, so I thought that this was a good place to start. Because honestly, boy, I'm having a hard time getting pumped up about these games against the Blue Jays. How do you get pumped up for those? 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, if you would, our producer, please open up the phone lines. We'll take your calls on anything and everything Red Sox, and for that matter, baseball. But I thought today would be a good opportunity to ask this question. Okay, because last night in Baltimore, which I'll get to in some of the particulars in a minute, but last night in Baltimore, the Yankees beat the Orioles 10-7. Okay, New York beat Baltimore 10-7. The Yankees, in the process, extended their lead in the American League East to one game over the Tampa Bay Rays and to 4.5. Well, it stayed at 4.5 over the Red Sox because the Red Sox played earlier in the day. And I'll just double check this because I don't think Tampa played last night, right? So I said extended their lead over the Rays. I think the Rays were off last night, so the Yankees picked up a half game. And New York is one game in front in the division over Tampa, 4.5 games over the Red Sox. And what struck me is, first of all, the nature of that Yankee win. They were down, I think, 6-1 in that game. 6-1. They rally back with the help of the Orioles, and then Gary Sanchez hits a home run to win it. Okay? And I'll get to the Baltimore team in a second. Did you guys see any of this last night? Screw it. Let's get to it now before I ask my question to Red Sox fans is this. Who would you rather be right now, the Red Sox or the Yankees? Who would you rather be? Which team is really more likable? Which team has played better? All of that. Which team would you rather be right now, the Red Sox or the Yankees? New York is ahead, 4.5 games. The Red Sox obviously haven't clicked. And you can tell me you think the Yankees are overachieving. But I look at New York, and I'm starting to wonder whether that Yankees team is just really now starting to get ready to take off, which I'll explain in 1 second. But what happened in this game last night, I saw two of the worst major league throws that I have ever seen in my life from, good God, what's his name, the left fielder with the Orioles. Is it Dwight Smith Jr.? I think it's Dwight Smith Jr. Okay, this isn't entirely going to translate to audio. You're just going to have to listen to the broadcasters here. These were a pair of sacrifice flies that Aaron Hicks hit in the seventh inning and then again the ninth inning. Okay, the first one shouldn't have been a sacrifice fly, but Smith made two of the worst throws I have ever seen in a major league game. And I'm laughing just thinking about it. I'm hoping to put them up on the Facebook page in the next day or so, but here's what it sounded like.
Even a little contact here. Fly ball to left field. Smith Jr. coming in. Maben tagging. And he fakes it. The throw home is going to be wide. And LeMayu in the second. Throw is wide. And here comes Maben. Wow. Whew. Not going to get a sack fly for it. But the Yankees a little bit closer. 7-5.
I don't think he'll get one because Maben wasn't going to go.
Right.
And once the throw got away, that enabled him to score. So Dwight Smith Jr. is going to get an error here. On a play where there was no play. And he just threw this. Looked like a slider.
Wow.
Ball is hit high in the air to left field. This should be deep enough for Gardner to score. Dwight Smith Jr. makes the catch. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's way offline. Gardner scores. Maben will go to third. It's a tie game at 7. I'll tell you, Dwight Smith Jr. just throws it anywhere near home plate.
Well, good job, first of all, you're right, by Aaron Hicks. But what is Dwight Smith Jr. thinking about here? There is no play on Brett Gardner. That's not even close. And because of that, Maben is now on third base. And we've seen a couple of outfielders here for Baltimore in this ninth inning. Rickard and now Dwight Smith Jr. That just not even close.
That was airmailed.
Was it ever? Holy crap. I got to explain to you what happened on these two plays. It was unbelievable. On the first one, as you heard, the guy wasn't tagging up. This throw by Dwight Smith Jr., halfway up the first baseline. From left, first of all, he threw it about 80 feet in the air and halfway up the first baseline. It's not like he pulled the catcher off the plate and he was still in the dirt circle. It was halfway up the first baseline. If you didn't know any better, he was throwing it into the stands. On the second one, it went in the other direction. It ended up almost in the third base dugout. It was so bad. The Yankees win the game. So here's what I'm getting at. This Red Sox slow start, boy, if you want to make excuses for the Red Sox, you're barking up the wrong tree, and you're not going to get them from anybody in New York. You're not going to get any sympathy from anybody in New York. Let's just go through some of the particulars, okay? So the Red Sox at this stage, and I'll give you the exact numbers here in 1 second. The Red Sox at this stage have played 47 games. The Yankees have played 46. Okay, so 47 games versus 46. The record, Boston 25 and 22, New York 29 and 17. Edge Yankees. The Yankees have the third best record in the league. You have the sixth. Runs scored. Listen closely here now. Murray, I want your help with this. Runs scored.
Don't make me do math.
Red Sox 250. The Yankees 236. Who gets the edge?
Red Sox.
Wrong. Yankees. I'll explain why in a minute.
More usually is better, but then again, I'm a greedy pig.
OPS. OPS. Again, listen closely. Red Sox 773. Yankees 769. Again, who gets the advantage?
Red Sox.
Wrong. Yankees. I'll explain why in a minute.
All right, so the Yankees are good at all of this.
Okay. ERA. Overall, staff ERA. Boston 426. Yankees 374. Edge New York.
Obviously.
Okay. Starters ERA, the strength of the Red Sox team. Starters ERA, Boston 477, ninth in the league. The Yankees and that rotation that everybody in Boston likes to dump on, 3.59, second in the league. Edge New York. Relief ERA, Boston 3.58, Yankees 3.97. Murray, who gets the edge there?
Red Sox.
Correct. The Red Sox get the edge there over, and their bullpen has been shaky at times, but overall the Red Sox bullpen, given what we expected going in, not so bad. Defense, and this is according to Fangraphs, not fielding percentage. Red Sox rank 8th in the league. New York ranks 12th. Who gets the edge there, Murray?
Give me that one again.
Defense, Red Sox 8th, Yankees 12th.
Obviously the Red Sox.
Correct. Run differential, New York plus 51. Red Sox plus 32. Who gets the edge?
The Yankees.
Okay. So now you're going to ask me, why did the Yankees get the edge in run scored and OPS when the Red Sox actually have better numbers? Which brings me to this one. Games lost to the disabled list this year. The Red Sox, 261. The Yankees, 650. The Yankees have lost more games than any team in baseball to the disabled list. Sorry, the injured list. 650, number one. Nobody has lost more games to the injured list than the Yankees. The Red Sox, they've been healthier than average, 18th. They're 18th on that league. Again, if you are 16th, you're right in the middle. The difference are between, if you're 16, you're in the top half. 17, you're in the bottom half. The Red Sox are 18th. So they haven't been hit by an extraordinary number of injuries. And the Yankees have scored the same runs as you, basically, despite being without Judge, Stanton, Gregorius, for a time, Gary Sanchez, Miguel Andujar, the third baseman, who they lost for the year. Who have the Red Sox been without? like for people that keep saying the Red Sox are, they've dug themselves out of this hole, the Yankees had more right than any other team in the league to bury themselves. They have not. They've done the opposite. They have the third best record in the league, and they've really outperformed the Red Sox pretty much in every facet of the game. So, and the reason why I'm laying all this out for you now, why would you do this, Maz, on May 21st? Why? And the answer, because the Red Sox are now coming up on what I think is going to be their most important stretch of the season. In fact, they really already started it, which was with the series with the Astros over the weekend, in which they lost 2 of 3. Now they get a little reprieve against the Blue Jays, whose brains they beat in yesterday 12-2, and they'll get the Blue Jays for 3 more nights. And then after that, you know what basically comes up? At Houston, Cleveland, at New York, then you get another respite at Kansas City for 3 days, then you get Tampa at home, a little respite against Texas and Baltimore, and then you get the Twins. So in the next few weeks, you are going to face Houston twice, Cleveland, New York, Tampa, and Minnesota, and all 5 of those teams are in the playoffs right now, and you're not. That will all end. That entire sequence will basically end 1 month from now on June 19th. And if the Red Sox aren't in a better spot than where they are right now, they're going to be in trouble. Okay, they're going to be in trouble because the Yankees got guys coming back. So quickly, 617-779-0985. Joey's in Quincy. Joey, what do you got?
Hey, Baz. Well, I made a point last week about trading Chavis. I want to recant that because it was the same night that he blasted that shot over the monster. Yeah, definitely want to recant that. But I'd rather be the Yankees, and I'm a diehard Red Sox fan, but the Red Sox just look like a crapshoot right now. And like you said, they need to look better or season's over.
So, look, Joey, it's a rigged question. Obviously, I'm asking you at a time where the Yankees have overachieved. All I'm saying is that, realistically, when you weigh all this out, look at the injuries New York has dealt with. They're 12 games over 500. The Red Sox, relatively speaking now, compared to the Yankees, the Red Sox have been healthy. And remember, all those DL games or those injured list games that I cited for the Red Sox, 261, most of those, or a good chunk of those, are Dustin Pedroia, who never really factored into this anyway. Okay? So when I look at it, I just say, this is a stretch when, even if you had just played 500 out of the gate, you'd be right there right now. But now you're 5 behind, and the Yankees are going to get all their people back. Stanton played in a rehab game last night for the Yankees, and homered, by the way. But he played in a rehab game last night. Huge stretch in the next month for your baseball team. They can't win it, but once again, they can lose it. We'll get back to your calls when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
High fly ball left field, that's deep. Backing up McKinney, backing up, leaping up, it is gone. He has struck again. Chavis with number 9, and the Red Sox open it up 6-2.
Michael Chavis, one of the X factors for the Red Sox here in the early part of the year. This is another thing, too, is like if you compare the Red Sox and Yankees, New York's had all these injuries, and the Red Sox are getting contributions from guys they might not have expected or didn't expect. Chavis being one of them. Devers has overperformed at this stage and still Boston behind. I just think this next month, and I know there's a lot going on. You get the Stanley Cup Finals coming up here. That'll take 2 weeks. That's going to take you right into the middle of June. You may wake up, if you're not paying attention to the Red Sox, you may wake up in the middle of June, and they might be 8, 9, 10 back, depending on how these next few weeks go. Because they're playing all these teams head-to-head. And let's face it, the Houston series over the weekend did not go well. Quickly, Matt in a car. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. How you doing, brother?
Good. What's up, Matt?
Nothing. I just wanted to piggyback off that stat you had about the amount of games Red Sox players have missed due to injury. You know, something that makes that stat even look even worse is when you factor in how many of those games are Dustin Pedroia. You know, if you look at the average quality of the player of the Red Sox that's missing a game in comparison to the Yankees, it's not even comparable. So, you know, not only are we missing less, but, you know, just the overall quality of our players that are missing those games are just significantly worse in comparison. Matt, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Matt, there's no question. Again, they've lost Stanton. They've lost Judge. Gregorius has been out all year, and they knew that one was coming. But nonetheless, he's a starter that they do expect to get something out of. The Red Sox loaded up on all these people at second base. In fact, they're probably better without Pedroia at the moment, given the way Chavis is playing. So you go right through the whole list. The Yankees have been walloped by injuries, and they've been better than you across the board. So now, again, the Red Sox are out of their funk. They've played better, despite what happened against Houston over the weekend. And now here you go. You got a huge stretch of games coming up, really in the next 3 or 4 weeks, against all of the contenders in the American League. You can't fail here. You really can't even go 500. I think the Red Sox need to gain during this month. But I'll tell you what, let's bring in Dan Roach, the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Roach, you tell me, am I overstating how important these next 3 or 4 weeks are to the Red Sox?
If they don't get things together and they don't get their pitching rotation healthy and getting stronger, and if they don't get within 4.5, 2 games, 3 games of the Yankees by July 4th, then it's over, Mike. Hi, Tony.
Nice to have you back, Roachy. Yeah, no. I think this is the whole reason you're here, pal.
Tony, what are you doing? You're panicking and stuff. Last year, they won 108 games, and you wouldn't stop about the bullpen until Game 6 of the World Series. This year, what's the classic case of every team that's tried to repeat since the Yankees repeated? It's been that hangover. The Red Sox tried to do everything they could to avoid the hangover. Guess what? They've had a hangover. It just hasn't worked. Nothing's worked right the first month. They were 6-12. They're 19-10 since. If they win 2 out of 3 games the rest of the way, I think they'd be okay. I think there's a long way to go. And I think the Yankees, I think you're absolutely right about your point about the Yankees. With Stanton and Judge, they just haven't played. When they get everybody back, they're going to be ridiculously tough to beat. And I think they're the team to beat in all of baseball. But at the same time, I think if, you know, you go back to, you know, as we used to follow along with Theo, we used to always say the job is to make the tournament. And if they, you know, right now they sit a half game out of the second wild card spot behind Cleveland. If they settle down and just start playing baseball and get Eovaldi, and now they got Price back and getting Sale going where he's going, I think that they'll be just fine.
So Roach, do you think really that the wild card is an acceptable goal for this team?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Come on, Roachy.
What do you want from them? They just won 108 games and then ripped through the World Series. All they need to do is to make the tournament this year, and I think that's a good season for the Red Sox. I mean, they're not going to play at that historic pace. That was just something that, like, we'll never see that again. And I think that if they can make the playoffs, I think that's a win-win for everybody involved because of how hard it is. And then they're built for that short series, as we've seen with Sale and Price and Eovaldi and Porcello, and then their bullpen and starters used it and everything else, and then you go from there.
Okay, so Roachy, in all seriousness, if they get in the play-in game and lose, that's a successful year?
No, it's a disappointing year, but it doesn't surprise me after what they did last year.
But what is it? See, this is the one that drives me crazy, Dan. And I'm being
No, I'm serious too, Tony, and I understand where you're coming from.
Why does
I'm just saying I think it's extremely difficult, as history has shown, to be in the World Series. Look at the Astros last year. They were rolling and everything else, and they got upended in the American League Championship Series. If the Red Sox get that far, is that a successful season?
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. It's a crapshoot when you get in the wild card, but I also think that it's just extremely difficult over 162 games to be that good.
Okay, and I'm telling you that if they get back to the LCS, I think I said that before the year started, that's my goal for them, Dan. I don't think, given the level of talent that they have, I don't think that's an unrealistic goal. I thought that was the goal last year. They exceeded it. They had one of the great years in franchise history. But I do look at it now and I say, well, wait a minute. why does last year matter anymore? They're getting paid for this year now. We're all watching for this year now.
Because they're human beings. I mean, that's part of it. It's go back and research and ask why did last year matter? Go back and ask every team that's tried to repeat since the 2000 Yankees. It's not easy.
Okay.
So it does matter from the sense of it's just for some whatever reason. Maybe it's the amount of innings they threw, the amount of pitches the starters threw, guys having great years, the offense exploding, healthy. Everything happened right for the Red Sox last year. The course of 162 games, it's not going to happen that same way. And they may end up there. And I'm saying to you is that I totally agree with what you're saying about, hey, getting back to the ALCS would be, what maybe this team's goal should be. But the difference between that and being in that play-in game and having that one start and having to rely on your one game, we've seen how hard that is to win that one game, and then he can get rolling. So it wouldn't surprise me if they made that and then lost that. I'm just saying, I think that the goal should be American League Championship Series. That's fine. But I just think it's extremely difficult to do.
Roche, if they never catch the first-place team, whether that is Tampa or New York, who's to blame for that?
Everybody, the players, the management, and the manager.
Okay, but you agree that it's
them. But
what
are you going to do? You're going to fire everybody?
No. I'm not talking about anything like that.
Well, who's to blame for last year with the Astros? I mean, look at how close they were. Look at how good of a team they were. And look at the mission they're on this year. It's just they won 103 games last year, but look at them now. They're back. They're refreshed. They didn't have to go through that grind that they went through the year before, and now they look like the Astros again. I'm just saying that I think it's hard. For whatever reason, coming off that year before, to do what you're doing. Now, you can tell me,
Roche,
don't succeed next year, if the Red Sox don't succeed next year and aren't like playing like that again, like the Astros and the team that they were last year, then I'd be disappointed.
Okay, but then what are we going to do, just write off this year? And when you say the Astros, Dan, I would say the Astros had a successful year last year. They won the division, they got back to the LCS, and they lost. All I've said with this team this year is, if they don't make the playoffs or they get into the playoff game and lose, that's not good enough. They have more ability than that.
You just said if they don't catch the first-place team, is that a disappointment? No. If they get into the playoffs and if they win the play-in game and go on to the ALCS, is that a success? Yes. It's just a different route.
Roche, what I said was if they don't catch the first-place team, whose fault is that?
I don't know if it's anybody's fault, Tony. I think it's the difficulty of trying to repeat.
Dan, do you think they were ready to start the year?
No, obviously not.
Okay, so this is my point, is I think that they took it a little cavalier at the beginning of the year. They certainly didn't expect to go 6-13, and they dug themselves a hole that they did not expect to dig. So if they miss now, if during, this is why I think the next month is so important, because they're going to play these 30 games over the next month against pretty much all good teams, not everyone, but they're going to face the five playoff teams in the league, the five teams that are in the playoffs right now in the next 3 or 4 weeks. If they lose ground, Roche, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with you. Totally agree with you. But let the season play out. We're, 47 games in. They've had their hangover. And they played 6-13. What are they since? You know, they're 19-9. Let's see how that plays out over the course of time and see if guys can get going and doing what they're doing. And I'm looking forward to this stretch. All I'm saying is that it may not work out. It may be a disappointment. But I think it's again, way too early to try to figure out what this Red Sox team is and the challenges that they're trying to overcome.
So I'm just saying that we're going to start to find out in the next 3 weeks, and I didn't love the way it started off at the Houston series.
And you know what, Tony? Enjoy every single one of those games. That's the problem you had last year, for crying out loud.
There were
119 games, and you were in a panic all the way up until 119.
It had nothing to do with last year. I'm like that every year, Roche. You know that.
That's why I love you.
So look, I didn't invite you on to yell at you or to be yelled at the whole time.
Yes, you did.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you one more question. Tell me about Michael Chavis, because he feels like he's a little too cocky for his own good. And tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me I should like Chavis.
He's refreshing for the sense of, you know, what they're going through and what they've gone through as a team has been, as we've seen, it's been hard. And for him to come up with that, you know, getting in there and just he swings like, you know, as Ortiz used to say, from his arse. You know what I mean? He just lets it fly every time, and I think he's refreshing for this team. Will they catch up to him? You know, yeah, they're going to figure out how to pitch him. It looks like he's having a hard time hitting breaking balls and what have you. But for now, it's the perfect recipe for what this team needs. It's that youthful exuberance, maybe a little borderline cockiness, but I think it's exactly what they need, and he's producing. So, he, like you said, he's the best second baseman they have. Ride it as long as you can and see what happens.
Well, he and Devers, to me, have been the backbone for this thing. And when I say this thing, I mean the 19 and 10 that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's what you need. You need those young guys to carry you now and then get everybody else going.
Yeah, because the old guys are hung over, Rochie, at least. And that's according to you, not to me. So, so listen, as always, thank you for joining.
Good to talk to you, Tony.
All right, you're a good sport. Dan Roach of WBZ-TV. You know, nobody loves baseball more than Rochie. I mean that. Like, you know, I love the game for a long time. I pale in my passion for the game to Dan Roach. Of course, all of his energy is positive, which to me is a little misdirected. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll get back to your calls when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not running here. High fly. That's driven deep into right center field. Heading back there, and gone. The end of the bullpen.
There you go, Eck. There you go. There's the hairy guys go Prince. That's exactly what happened. We haven't seen that for a while. JD taking a right-hander into the bullpen. That is a beautiful thing.
So Jim Murray told you a short time ago, that's obviously a JD Martinez home run that we played for you from early in the year. Murray told you a short time ago, JD Martinez not in the lineup again tonight. Second straight game. The Red Sox have announced because of illness. Is that what it is, Murray? They're saying illness?
Yeah, it's what Peter Abraham put on Twitter, yeah.
So look, I'll take their word for it.
You're not buying it.
Well, I'll tell you.
And I don't blame you.
I'll tell you why I'm not buying it. Because he had back spasms earlier in the year and missed a series against Tampa.
That's right.
And so now it happens again, and I start to worry that maybe there's something bigger going on with the guy's back. And JD Martinez has a little bit of a history of missing games. I mean, last year he played in 150. So you know what? Now that I think of it, let me just punch that up real fast. Because I have to believe that if that wasn't a career high for him, it was pretty damn close. So I'll find out exactly what his career high is in terms of games played, but I can't imagine he's ever played more than 150. He played 158 with Detroit 1 year, so I take it back, 2015. But it was the second highest total of his career. The year before he came to the Red Sox, he played 120. 119. The year before that was 120. 2014 was 123. This guy, up until last year, had only had one season where he played as many as 130 games. And that was 2015 in Detroit. Okay? He had a good year that year. But my point is, I start to worry about this now because I feel like he missed a game on Monday. He misses another game tonight with what they're calling an illness. He missed a series early in the year with back spasms, which makes me think the illness is bullcrap. I hope I'm wrong. But I am one of these people who believes that, aside from Alex Cora, the biggest change in the Red Sox last year was JD Martinez. And when I say that, I mean huge. I think everything that happened to every guy in that lineup is a result of JD Martinez being there. You take the big bat out, the whole thing changes. Everybody gets pitched differently. It's totally different. So do you realize yesterday, and he's only missed four games, but yesterday was the first game they won without him in the lineup. Like, they were 0-3. It's a small sample. But I don't think that that's totally a coincidence. I think that when you take him out of there, they're a different team. Last year, when JD Martinez missed games, and there were 12, they were 6-6. The rest of the time, they went 102-48. Now, they won with almost everybody in the lineup last year, and everything went right. But I think he is the X factor with that lineup. Okay? He's the X factor. To the point where last night I was on Talking Baseball with, you know, Trenny Kuznarek and John Tomasi, typically Lou Maloney as well, at NBC Sports Boston. And we raised the question of who is more important of the lineup. Is it J.D. Martinez or Mookie Betts? Do you guys have an opinion, Jimmy Stewart, Jim Murray?
Yeah, I think if you're just saying strictly the lineup, it is. It's J.D. Martinez. You're right, because his power numbers are the one thing that was better than, if we're taking last year into account, too, the power numbers that were better than Mookie Betts, who is an all-around better player and certainly a better fielder. But if we're just talking straight lineup, yeah, it's J.D. Martinez.
Jimmy?
J.D. Martinez, he's the one who's got to drive Mookie Betts in, because J.D. Martinez is either driving Mookie Betts in or he's driving himself in.
So, look, I think he should have been the MVP of the league last year.
He should have been.
Mookie Betts was the best player in the league. J.D. Martinez was the most valuable, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And I know that is semantics. But Mookie plays defense. Mookie runs the bases. He was the best player in the game last year. But J.D. Martinez is more important to the Red Sox. And, look, I don't know. Maybe you have to factor that in when this fall comes along. But if J.D. Martinez starts missing games again this year, my opinion will change. Because the availability of a player, games played, the most underrated stat in sports, as we like to say. We'll get back to your calls. Matt and Sharon. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. You made a great point with J.D. Martinez. I mean, it's not really necessarily what he does. I mean, I know that he does a ton for the lineup, but you nailed it by saying the way that everybody else around him gets pitched, it's so different, and he affects the lineup way more than Mookie does in that sense. So, I mean, if he was in the National League last year, if he had stayed on the Diamondbacks and he had the same numbers that he had on the Red Sox, he would have been the Triple Crown in the National League. I'm pretty confident on that.
So, Matt, look, this is one of those things that I'm going to let you go just because other people are lined up and I want to get to everybody. But this is one of those things where if you were to have this discussion with Theo Epstein, for example, or any modern GM, you know what they would tell you? Protection in the lineup is a myth. It doesn't really exist. And that, you know, guys hit because they can hit. And yet, I don't think that's true. Like, the numbers are one thing, but I also think that there is a metric in there of that is, or there's an element in there that's hard to measure, that there is no metric for, and that is a guy's presence. And so I think J.D. Martinez changes the lineup. I don't think it's a coincidence that everybody got better when he was in there. I think that that's a real thing. I think everything changes. I mean, really, David Ortiz was there in 2016. J.D. Martinez was there in 2018. In between, the Red Sox didn't hit. Why is that? Like, I don't think that that's just a coincidence. I think a guy like that has a profound impact on a lineup, and he's the kind of guy that the other team knows when he's coming up. And they say, we have no answer for that guy. We have to either walk him or just hope that he swings at a bad pitch. Because we can't pitch him away because he can hit it out. We can't pitch him in because he can hit it out. We have no answer for that guy. And it changes everything. And I don't have numbers to prove it because there are none. But he makes a massive difference. Chris is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Tony. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, so I just want to talk about the bullpen and the minor league system real quick.
Okay, you got to go fast.
If the bullpen struggle continues, is there anyone in the minor league system that's ready to go? Thanks.
Okay, so I thought you meant two topics. You're connecting the two. It's a good question. I mean, the kid, Durbin Feltman, that they talked about early in the season, I haven't checked in on him of late, so I don't know what the numbers are. Maybe the Red Sox think that he can come up and pitch for them later in the year, and I'll tell you what, you've inspired me to look it up. So I'll do that during the break.
And also, you just keep it to strictly pitchers or any prospects? Because our own Matt McCarthy, he of Hardcore Baseball, just wrote an article on 98.5sportshub.com about Red Sox prospect Jaron Duran, who's tearing up single A. He's an outfielder.
Okay, so he's way down lower levels, though. I mean, that one's still, A ball. He's still a ways away. Until they get to double A, don't talk to me.
All right.
And I don't mean you, Murray. I just mean as a general point that double A to me is the make or break level. Guy plays at double A, then we can talk. Until that happens, I deem or unless there were really high draft pick that come with a lot of hype, in which case you expect them to play well and there's more news in the minors if they don't. Trey Ball, for example, number 7 overall pick 1 year, has done nothing in the minor league. Zero. Matt's in Norwood. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Tommy, last year at this time you had a big Stanton in your shorts. You were pole vaulting out of bed for him.
I did.
Still wish you had him over JD?
No. Does that satisfy you?
Actually, it does. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
So I will tell you, no. I like JD Martinez as a more complete hitter. Now, if JD Martinez is gone after 2 years, and Stanton, or he's injured and, you know, not available to the Red Sox, and Stanton ends up having an impact on the Yankees for 8 to 10, or 8, call it, I reserve the right to change my mind. But I will say, having watched Stanton a little more regularly than I did when he was with the Marlins, because like most people, I saw the highlights and all the flash. Boy, he really does chase a lot on pitches off the plate. He's an easy out if you pitch him right. JD Martinez is a lot of things that Stanton is not, but an easy out is not one of them. Okay, I will venture to look up those stats on Durbin Feltman, and maybe we'll even give you a little bit of a Red Sox prospect update, but I don't think there's much in the minor leagues that can really, really help this team during the course of the year, or really in the immediate future. I think that's a problem. We'll wrap it up and give you the update on Feltman and check in with Adam Jones next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big matchup of the game is presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years, thanks to our friends at Big Y. Murray, quick question. Who's been the most effective starter on the Red Sox this year?
Overall?
Yeah.
Probably the guy that's going tonight.
Might be Eduardo Rodriguez. David Price would be a good answer, too, but Eduardo Rodriguez.
David Price, Mass, to answer your question.
You think so?
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, he's been more consistent, right? He was good out of the gate.
Yep.
Rodriguez had two horrendous games to start the year, but do you realize that the Red Sox are 7-0 in his last seven starts?
That'll change tonight. He'll lose tonight.
7-0.
And no injured list stint for him either.
And
yet,
during that span, he's basically averaging 6 innings a start. Not bad. 49 strikeouts and 10 walks in 41 and two-thirds.
Thank God they got rid of Blake Swihart.
Luke Maley, the guy who homered for the Blue Jays yesterday against David Price, against Eduardo Rodriguez. He's one of your big matchups of the night. Maley, 1-for-8 with 5 strikeouts against Eduardo Rodriguez. And Rodriguez, by the way, in that building, 2-1, 2.75. He's got the career numbers against the Blue Jays hitters. Off the charts good. They only hit 220 against him. No home runs. 19 strikeouts, only 2 walks. On paper, looks like an easy win. On paper. Meanwhile, Marcus Stroman against Xander Bogaerts. Bogaerts hits this guy. 11 for 31, 2 homers, .355 batting average, .988 OPS. Stroman, however, has not allowed a home run to a right-handed batter this year. So something new to keep an eye on. I did do a little bit of quick research on Durbin Feltman, former high pick. Not former. I mean, he still exists. High pick of the Red Sox last year. Feltman was third rounder. There was some speculation he might actually jump into the big leagues last year and work out of their bullpen. And then the thought was, well, we'll see. Maybe he'll jump in this year. He's at Double A. I told you Double A is the big level. 6.61 ERA so far. 6.61.
That's not good.
In fact, as I look at the list of Red Sox prospects, and this is a topic for another day, oh boy, is it thin. Holy crap. We're going to go through this name by name tomorrow, unless something dramatic happens in the game tonight. And I'm just on a website called SoxProspects.com where they rank the Red Sox prospects 1 to 20. Wait till I get to the top 10. Wait, we'll go through the top 10 tomorrow. I think that's a good topic. Adam Jones coming up here shortly with Christian Arcan. What do you got, Pac-Man?
Well, I actually prepared a little something here, Tony, because we do all love you.
I knew this was coming.
This intervention, Jones.
We all care about you. I first knew that something may have been amiss with your Sony Michelle takes, and I should have said something then, but I let it slide. I decided to look the other way. I decided to bury my head in the sand and enable what's going on right now. So look, we all care about you. We're all looking out for you, and we all want you to get better. So I just wanted to let you know that. And in the meantime, we're going to talk about how the Bruins can't win the Stanley Cup. That's what we're going
to
do.
Good job. Way to go.
Yes.
Way to go. All right. Jones and Arcane coming up next. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Have a good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.